Well, out there in the world, there's gear that will make you instantly a better musician. And there's actually gear out there that will make you a worse musician. And sometimes those are the same products. And today we're talking about the worst of the worst, or the best of the best, which is in-ear monitors. All right, let's jump in. Hey everybody, welcome back. This is Stephen Reed from Music and Ministry. And today we're talking about the very controversial, very dangerous product that is in-ear monitors. And I'm gonna say a lot of things that are positive about in-ear monitors. I'm gonna say a lot of things that are negative, to the point where you may think, well, Steve, you sound like you're anti-in-ears. And the truth is, no, I'm pro-in-ears in certain situations, because what happens is that a lot of times, it's the wrong choice and it creates a lot of problems. And so first of all, let's just talk about in-ears, because I have in-ears and I definitely need them at times. And if you're gonna buy some, I would definitely recommend these. These are CCA C10s, and I've had these for about 5 years or so, and I'm sure they've made some other kind of new product that's bigger and better or whatever. But I've listened to a lot of headphones in my days and have gone to trade shows where they just had row after row after row of headphones, and I've toured factories that made in-ears, and I can tell you that these sound as good or better than anything that I've ever tried that cost thousands of dollars. And these, well, at the time, were 17 when I got them, but now you can get them for about $30 or $40 on Amazon. Again, CCA, these are C10s. Nothing fancy about them, but they work. You would want the one that doesn't have the microphone in it, unless for some reason that's what you want. These have five speakers in them, what are called four armatures, and then one driver, which just basically means there's five tiny little speakers in here that are separating out highs, the mid lows, and then the lows, and it makes for a very crisp, very clean sound, and again, at a much lower price. So I recommend them to anyone that I meet. I don't get any money from them. I'm not sponsored by them. I'm not gonna post some sort of affiliate link where I get some sort of kickback from them. This is just me handing out some hopefully great advice for you. So that all being said, and diving into some of the issues, I must first say that no system is perfect and every system has issues. And I'll just say that in-ears have some pretty bad side effects. And so one of the things that you have to realize right away is knowing, do I need in-ears or do I like in-ears? And this is kind of the crazy thing, is that people love their in-ears and they will fight to the death to defend them, even though it's making them a worse musician, because it's very self-deceptive. And I'll say that again, just to be dramatic, it's very self-deceptive and self-reaffirming. And that adds to the deception part of it, in the sense of you feel like you're a better musician. You feel like it sounds good to you, but, and this is point number one, is that you have to recognize that as soon as you put these in-ears in your ear, that you are entering into an alternate reality, and you have to recognize your blindness. So if I was taking notes, I would write that down. Recognize your blindness. So just like if you were gonna be playing some sort of game, or you just decided that you wanted to put on some sort of face mask, face covering, eye covering for sleep, or whatever it is that you would do, you would recognize that you were blind. You would instantly try to see and you wouldn't be able to see, and you'd be like, oh, wait a minute, I'm gonna have some trouble here. But in-ears aren't like a blindfold. In-ears are a lot more like virtual reality goggles. And I don't know if you've ever gotten to try them, but it's pretty amazing. And it also comes along with some issues, because you're fully enveloped in this world where you can look around and see. And the first time I put them on, there was like some sort of underwater swimming thing and a shark came right here. And it like freaked me out for a second, because again, it's just so immersive. But what happens, and if you've ever seen fail videos on the internet, because it happens to a lot of people, is that you can forget that that's a virtual reality. And if you try to treat your virtual reality like it's regular reality, you end up running into things. And there's so many videos on the internet of people playing some sort of sports game, playing some sort of roller coaster thing, that they forget which world they're in, and they end up running into the wall, falling into something, ducking or screaming about something that isn't real, even though they feel like it's real, because again, they're trying to live in this virtual reality and then forget what actual reality is. And so that's the danger, the biggest danger of in-ear monitors, is that if you put yourself into this alternate reality, this virtual reality, you will end up making mistakes in regular reality. Again, it's gonna sound completely perfect to you. It's gonna make sense. You're gonna think it's awesome. And so probably the most frustrating part about people when they're in virtual reality is that then they don't believe you when you say something to them. And so for me, I will often be like, hey, that part's not really working there, or we're having to turn you off, or hey, you're turned off. And people will just look me straight in the eye and be like, no, I'm not. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you can't tell that whether or not I turn you off. And they're like, oh, no, I can tell. I mean, I have had people just get so mad at me, just be like, no, I would be able to tell. And I'm looking at them and I'm telling them, look, we've been running sound, I've been running your sound, and I'm telling you, I turned you off and you did not know. And they still don't believe me. Why? Because they are so self-deceived, so immersed into their virtual reality world that they've created, that they refuse to acknowledge reality, and it's very frustrating. And so you have to, when you recognize that you're blind, then have some sort of connection to reality. And so that is number two, is you have to establish connection to reality. So if I knew that I was blind, or that the lights were out, or I was wearing some sort of blindfold, I would instantly change how I was acting. I certainly wouldn't be as confident if I was walking around in a space. I would be calling out to people saying, hey, where am I? Where's this going? Or I would be walking with my hands out. And for anybody who's ever walked around in their house at night trying not to disturb anybody, you know what I'm talking about. You kind of are reaching for the couch, and then you, oh, there's the couch. And then you're like, okay, it should be about this far to the wall, and you touch the wall. Well, if the lights were on, you don't touch the couch and touch the wall as you walk through your space. You just can see it and do it. You don't even think about it. But when you're blind and you know you're blind, it changes how you act. And so we lose that when we get into our inner environment. And partly then it becomes this broken system, and I'm anti-bad system, not anti-in-ears, I'm anti-bad system, where we then don't talk to the sound person, or when the sound person says something, then they don't believe them, and then it just creates this gigantic wedge in between virtual reality and actual reality. And because of all the issues and more that I just referred to, there's no tether, there's no communication, there's no lifeline between virtual reality and actual reality. And that's where most everybody misses it, because the sound person is just like, whatever, you do what you're gonna do, I'm gonna turn you off, you won't know it, and I can't tell. I mean, I'm just, it's so many churches. I can't even think of a one that I've been to where somebody wasn't off in the system, but were just living the dream in their in-ears on stage. And it's sad that that's the state of the church in the modern world, that that's how we treat people. What we just don't have a way to get past that, and that's what I'm hoping to help everybody with here today and in the future whenever you're watching this. So you have to then work hard to create that tether to reality. So in the situations where I have to wear in-ears because it's the situation just demands it, I ask a lot of questions. I play a lot differently, and I don't rely upon my own perception of how it's going. And so I will talk to those that are out in the congregation, and I will say, hey, is this working? I'm playing this part here. Is that fitting the spot, or should I play less or play more? Many people are just so shocked that I'm asking a question that they don't even know how to answer. But I keep asking and I keep asking. Why? Because I recognize that I'm blind and I need their opinion, because their opinion is the one that matters. I don't want to just get up there and play and have them turn me off and not even give them the chance to help me help them make the sound that we're all looking for. The other thing that I do is that if I can, I will go out into the congregation and hear it from that perspective. So I sometimes will have a very long chord on my guitar, and I will go out and play out in the deal and be like, okay, yeah, that's working, that's not working. And I get some sort of reality check. If I'm just singing, and especially if I have a wireless microphone, I can just walk out into the congregation. And then I adjust my virtual reality to mimic what I'm hearing out in actual reality, but I'm at least able to compare the two. All right, so I'm asking the sound person, I'm doing my own checks, and then there is what is called a virtual sound check, or what I would call a mix rehearsal, where you actually record all of the channels onto your soundboard, and then there's ways that you can play it back through your soundboard. You can have everybody come off the stage and listen to what it sounds like mixed in the room with the sound person. And you at least have some chance. Maybe you can't make adjustments in the moment, but you can at least make adjustments week to week in the sense of like you can go back and listen to what it is. Now you may think, well, I can just listen to the live stream, but that's not the same situation. That's not the same system. You got to use your sound person, your soundboard, your room, have it coming through that in order to get an idea of what is actually happening in the room. All right. So you have to, as we talked about, review real quick, recognize your blindness. You have to then create a tether. You have to connect with reality. You have to act like you're blind, otherwise you're going to run into a lot of problems. And so this is what happens at most churches. And even for the best of the best, this is where most people miss it, is that they're trying to create some sort of tether, but they're doing it to somebody that's still within the virtual reality. So if on your team you have a music director or MD for short, these are the people that try to make some of the decisions. Sometimes MD just means like they're telling you where you're going in the song, but there's another level where they're like actually saying like, hey, play this, don't play that, kind of a producer type role. But most of those people are trying to do that from within the band, from within a virtual world. And the sad part is that we're all in our own virtual world. It's not like we're all living in the same virtual world. We all have different mixes. And so what it ends up being is basically you get the blind leading the blind. And biblically, that's not a good thing, right? But again, part of the challenge is that we believe we can see. So we're blind, but we believe that we can see. Well, how great is that blindness? How great is that darkness? It's usually pretty bad, and a lot of people end up getting turned off, and it doesn't sound as good as it could sound. All right. So in all of that, you got to ask yourself, is in-ears the right answer? Because a lot of times the answer is no. Because the reason why you're using in-ears is because what you're playing isn't right or it doesn't sound good. And so you end up playing the wrong part and then it doesn't work and you're like, oh, well, I can't hear myself. Oh, let me change how I'm hearing and I enter into this virtual world where I can shape it to where what I was playing that was wrong now sounds right in this world, but I have no way to know if it actually sounds good in the real world. And so then I just live in this own weird self-deception. And so I say this all the time, I keep saying it until the whole world believes me, but you have to create an environment, a listening environment, where the right part sounds right and the wrong part sounds wrong. All right, once again, you have to create an environment where the right part sounds right and the wrong part sounds wrong. Otherwise, you're just gonna keep on making mistakes, thinking you're doing a great job. Somebody who doesn't know music or just wants to be encouraging will come, hey, sounds great today. And then it's just going to be self-reaffirming. And then the next thing you know, you've just created this whole thing that we have today where people are on the team, but they're not actually on the team. And it's just not as good as it could be. And so I would say in-ears for the most part are not worth it. Like in the sense of you have to create a system where somebody, probably your best musician, is not on the stage, that they're out in the audience, and maybe that's the sound person, maybe it's not the sound person, but you have to give that person authority to then direct traffic in the sense of you play this, you play that, you don't play that, hey, that's not working. There has to be a lot of communication that most churches don't have, and honestly, most people just don't know how to do or don't know how to communicate between the different types of communication, the different languages of music that there are. So I'm not saying that's not possible, and I'm not saying that some people don't do that. I'm just saying that for most churches, that's a tough ask to take your best musicians and put them off of the stage, off the platform, however you want to refer to that. So what we like to do, and again, as we have developed our stuff as we've traveled to different churches, is that we tend to go no in-ear monitors. We try to go low amount of monitors to where we can hear the mains as much as we can. And that is the best to be able to live in. What you're hearing is what I'm hearing, and then it allows me to make adjustments in the moment. So again, we can talk a lot about how that would possibly work, but there are other ways to do it besides just using in-ears. And so I think a lot of people just fall into the trap of, well, first of all, in-ears make a lot of money. And so it's really pushed in the industry, the worship industry, and it just gets a lot of press. They buy a lot of ads and magazines, they get it promoted and pushed, and they say stuff like, well, this is what the pros do. And it's like, yeah, to a measure, some of them do it. Are there some pros that are still getting half the band turned off? Yeah, and I've seen it, and it's sad. But I will tell you this, that what the pros do isn't how most churches use in-ears. And I was shocked to find out, because I was doing some interviews for Worship Leader Magazine and was interviewing some monitor engineers, and they're just saying, like, how do you guys work this? how's it all come together? And he's like, well, we don't try and do a silent stage. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah. Oh, it's loud on stage. We have, they said everybody has in-ears, but they also have floor monitors, and they also have what are called side fills. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, he's like, oh no. Like, there's a bunch of sound coming from different places. And I was like, well, we are not doing the same thing that you all are doing. That's crazy. And so he also then told me that some of the bigger bands will have an individual sound system for each player that's in the band. They have their own sound person, their own sound board, their own sound channels are all being sent to that person so that that person has their own mix. They're living in their own virtual reality. And I was like, that is nuts. And he was like, yeah, that's because we don't care what they listen to as long as they can play the right part at the right time with the right sound. And I threw in those three things at the end. He didn't say, as long as they can play the right thing, what does it matter? And honestly, that is the case. Is if you could listen to the radio and still play the right part, what do I care what you're listening to? But in those environments, most of the time, those big shows have a show producer. They have that person who's out in the front, who's telling them, yes, that's working, no, that's not working. And then when that person says, no, that's not working, the band members don't get mad at that person. They're like, oh, okay, he must be hearing something I'm not hearing. And they adjust their mix so that way they hear what this person's hearing. And then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see how that's clashing. And then they fix it, all right? Now, there are some times where it's just a matter of opinion and this person likes it a particular way, these guys like it a particular way. But at the end of the day, whoever's out here running the sound, they're the ones that are gonna make those choices. And so you have to live in their reality. So that being said, I think the biggest difference between a pro and an amateur when it comes to sound and using in-ears is that they're using it so they can make sure that they're hearing what everybody else is doing, where in our church world, we tend to turn everybody else off so we can hear what we're doing. And those are not the same things and it will yield very different results. And so in that environment where you're in a big stage and you wouldn't be able to use maybe just a floor monitor, or you wouldn't be able to just hear it from your amps, and you would have trouble. If I'm on this side of the stage and I'm like, man, I need to hear what that keyboard is playing, and it's just not, I can't hear what you're doing. Well, yeah, okay, there's gotta be some way that I can hear them and that we're making sure that we're all together. And so in that environment, maybe in-ears would be a good idea, or maybe in-ears would be a good idea just because it's so loud on stage that you actually need to wear them as some sort of hearing protection because it's just too loud. So again, those are great reasons to wear in-ears. But again, you have to factor in all of those other situations we talked about. That you have to recognize your blindness, you have to create a tether to reality, and then you have to make sure that what you're hearing makes the right part sound right and the wrong part sound wrong. And so if you can do that with in-ears, then man, there can be very helpful to you. All right, here we are at the time that I say the same thing every week. That's a lot of information to take in, but it can literally change the face of your ministry, change the sound of your music, because as soon as you recognize that, hey, this thing is actually hurting me more than it's helping me, you can make the adjustments that you need to make. So you can either make them in the sense of putting that person in place, creating that tether to reality so that way it all makes sense and that you're actually doing what you think you're doing, great. Or you can discover the other systems, the ways of doing it that don't involve using in-ears. And honestly, sometimes it's good to know how to do both just because the situations will demand that that's how it goes. But would encourage you to keep hanging with us, check out some of other stuff at musicandministry.co, and we will help you do what it is that God's called you to do. And I encourage you to have an amazing week this week. And until next time, God bless.